Excuse me. Good morning. So I'm Shikha Anand, and I'm going to speak to you a little bit about what we've done in Massachusetts around implementation of the patient-centered medical home model in 13 practices. I have no disclosures to report, and I do want to acknowledge that this work was funded by CMS through CHIPRA Section 401D. I'd also like to acknowledge the work of the NICHQ team that supported me, particularly Dr. Fitzgerald, who has really incredibly supported the work, and also of the 13 teams that are doing the tough work on the ground while we try to help move them forward. So a little bit of an overview on CHIPRA. A little bit of an overview on what we'll be talking about today. First is just very briefly the public health impact of CHIPRA on maternal and child health. The second piece is really talking about how we've applied the model for improvement to medical home transformation, similar to what Dr. Fitzgerald presented before me. And then the third is using the principles of the patient-centered medical home in public health, and we'll just talk a little bit about how those can be applied in public health work. So what is CHIPRA? In 2009, President Obama signed into law the Children's Health Insurance Reauthorization Act, which is fondly called CHIPRA. And really the goal was to expand healthcare to an additional 4 million children and pregnant women. And the purpose was, the first was to enroll uninsured children. In Massachusetts, we have the children are insured at about 99%, so it's had a great effect, to provide coverage for children and families with an income above 300% of the federal poverty level, so that sort of working class poor that often gets forgotten, an option to cover pregnant women, and an option to cover legal immigrants without a five-year waiting period. And with this legislation, 10 demonstration grants were funded to establish and evaluate a national quality system for children's health care. And those 10 grants cover 18 states. And in Massachusetts, it's a single state grant, and the part that I'll be talking to you about today is the Medical Home Learning Collaborative, which is one part of this Massachusetts demonstration. So the goal of this work is to support implementation of the patient-centered medical home in 13 practices, pediatric practices in Massachusetts. Like others who have presented before me, we've employed a breakthrough series learning collaborative with actually a longer duration because medical home transformation is incredibly complex. It touches all parts of a primary care practice. And so we've actually had 6 in-person meetings and 6 action periods, which is a little bit different than what Marianne presented at the beginning of the session. And we've used the model for improvement, which has got the 3 fundamental QI questions, which you see to your right. So what is a patient-centered medical home? I know there's a lot of dialogue about medical home in all sorts of venues, and so I thought I'd briefly cover the definition. So it's a model of primary care that's patient-centered, comprehensive, team-based, coordinated, accessible, and focused on quality and safety. There are many definitions, and this is a fairly commonly used definition, and one that we've used to inform our work for the collaborative. So thinking about what we've been trying to accomplish and our aims within the Learning Collaborative, we've spent about 2.5 years with our practices, and at the outset of this, we really tried to focus, even though it's a very long list, we really tried to focus on what we wanted to see changes in. And I won't read the list to you. I think that these we'll talk a little bit more about in the measures, but there is actually a lot of different changes that one makes, which I'll get into a little bit more to get to medical home transformation. So the first goal is really to facilitate the measurable improvements, and the second goal is to really establish a basis for widespread dissemination and uptake of the improved approach. So we're working with 13 practices to test our hypotheses, and then the hope is to spread it throughout Massachusetts, and it's being spread through other modes nationally, but also spread our work to CMS over time. So just to give you a brief example of in part why this work is complicated, I know Dr. Fitzgerald just presented around a PDSA cycle, and so I thought I'd give an example of kind of one change that was made for one of our practices, really just to modestly improve ADHD care. And so this is the example of an ADHD EHR template that was developed by one of our practices. So in this example, the medical home improvement team, which consists of a practice transformation facilitator who's a local change agent in the practice, a provider champion, and a family partner, they started with the recommendations for ADHD care and drafted a form. They tested the form on paper first with a provider champion for a single session, so just kind of for trying to pick out ADHD patients with ADHD out of the population and testing it with one or two or three patients. They realized it was impacting clinical workflow, and so they revised the form to accommodate the clinical workflow. And then they tested iteratively with other providers. After they tested that under a variety of conditions, understanding that different providers have different workflows and different styles, they brought it back to the improvement team where they realized that it needed a sharper family focus, and then they actually built in a specific documentation of family participation and care into the form. They retested the revised form and implemented. And really this example goes to show that there are so many tests embedded in what feels like one fairly small change. And for these practices, we have worked on, we'll get into the measures in a bit, but we've worked on all the different domains of their care. So the changes that have been made have been numerous throughout the course of this learning collaborative. So, how we know that a change is an improvement. So in terms of measuring the patient-center medical home, as I said, you know, medical home transformation necessitates thousands of small tests of change. And it's difficult to measure the facets of the medical home without a significant measurement burden. So this is something that as we plan the collaborative, we struggled with a lot, how to really measure the success without making measurement be the thing that the practices were doing rather than really doing the work and testing the changes. So our approach was to focus on clinical outcomes that are aligned with national priorities in child health quality, and then a few process measures that reflect medical home transformation. So to give you a brief overview of our measures, we used validated instruments to assess transformation process. So one is the Medical Home Index, and I'll present the results of that, which really gets at different parts of the medical home transformation. And the other is the Team Development Survey. I won't present those results due to time, but we felt that development of a medical home team was really important to move the work forward. When we started the work, we heard that the teams weren't functioning so well, that maybe there was one authoritative voice in the team, and it was really hard for the group to work together. And so we actually worked very hard on team building and measured the results of that team building work over time. The second piece is the CHIPRA Learning Collaborative measure set, which we developed at the outset of this collaborative, and it consists of 13 measures that are designed to align with the national standards. We did our best to align them with HEDIS and meaningful use measures and other national measure sets so that it would be data that the practices were already collecting for other national initiatives. In WellCare, we actually had a high bar WellCare measure. So often WellCare measures include immunization rates or the number of well child visits. We also included developmental and mental health screening, adolescent high-risk behaviors, BMI screening, and oral health assessment as part of our standard well measures. We looked at care planning and coordination, patient safety and efficacy, and then we looked at disease-specific measures for asthma and ADHD. So this is our aggregate medical home index, and this is for all of the teams together. And as you can see, there's been notable progress in all of the six domains of the medical home index. And the bar on the far right is the overall result. So all of the changes in aggregate. For preschool, so this is one example of one of our wellness measures, and this is really looking at the preschool children with a complete wellness assessment. And if you look, you'll see like the people before me who presented the graphs, you can see a nice positive trend upwards over time. And at this point, about 95% of the charts that are being looked at show that they have had these six well visits since birth and the screening for developmental screening and for autism as well as an oral health assessment. The next measure that I'd like to draw your attention to is the aggregate number of patients with a completed healthy development referral and follow-up process. So one of the things we've worked really hard on in this collaborative is connecting our practices to the community resources that support families. So particularly looking at schools, and this is in early childhood, looking at early intervention. That's one thing that we've looked at. So often, as a provider, I find that when I refer to early intervention, I don't necessarily get any information back. So it's a family or a child that I'm concerned about, and it's not very easy to get information back. So we worked really hard with our practices to build systems to track the referrals that were being made and to track the data that was coming back. And then, in many cases, to do outreach to early intervention and to develop a system whereby they would have that bidirectional communication. And so we've seen increases in the number of notes coming back to the care teams, as well as kind of phone conversations between the primary care teams and the early intervention providers that didn't exist before. So with our safety and efficacy measures, we actually found out, safety and efficiency measures, we actually found out that many of our clinics had systems in place prior to starting this collaborative and actually were doing a good job of measuring and developing systems to promote this safety. So in terms of documented medication allergy checks, these numbers reflect that one or two of the clinics at the outset didn't really have a system in place, but many had a system to document allergy checks within their electronic health record. And so we helped those outlying clinics build systems for checking allergies, and it's been consistently above 95% since very early in the collaborative. So we've also worked on disease-specific measures, and this is the example of the ADHD care. And with this, we've really focused on a few different medical home concepts. One is the development of a registry, so it's very difficult to manage your population of children with ADHD if you don't know who they are in a systematic way. So we worked with all of our teams to build registries of children with different chronic conditions. And then we worked on systems for planned care. So part of this measure includes assessment of the children at the outset using a validated instrument, and then following up with them in a month to see how they're doing, if they did indeed initiate medications, to understand what the side effect profiles are, and to understand how the initiation of medication has improved their performance in school. So I'll speak a little bit about SPREAD and what's next for our collaborative. Our final interactions with the teams, we just had our final learning session in October, which is our all-day time with the teams, and we will have one more final celebration using a virtual webinar in December. And we'll really focus on the lessons learned that can be spread to other practices. I think we've learned a lot through this time about what works, what doesn't, and what systems are needed to accelerate the progress of the work. We'll be informing various initiatives surrounding patient-centered medical home, both in Massachusetts and across the country. We'll be looking at our change package, and our change package is really a list a comprehensive list of different activities you might undertake to improve your quality of care. So really with regards to medical home, so an example might be the development of a registry. There are different changes related to developing a registry. And so we created a change package at the outset of the collaborative, as we do with all of our collaboratives, and now we'll actually be going back to incorporate all that we've learned from our practices, as well as what we've learned from our family partners. And so we'll actually be having our family partners weigh in on the change package and introduce family-first language. So currently it's framed from a practices point of view, and we would like to have it framed from a family's point of view. We'll be creating tools and resources to support transformation and keep practitioners connected after the collaborative closes, and then we'll be disseminating what we've learned through presentations and publications like today. So just thinking a little bit about how you can incorporate principles of the patient-centered medical home into your public health work. So in terms of being patient-centered, and this is kind of reflecting on the list that I began with, formally incorporating family feedback into your improvement process and planning, and considering a family advisory council to guide your work. We've done this with all of our CHIPRA practice teams, and it's been incredibly powerful to have a family essentially look behind the curtain of these practices and really start to help them improve their processes. And if there's any opportunity for you to do that in your work, I encourage you to do so. In terms of being comprehensive, I think it's important to take a whole person approach to the work you do. And considering the unmet needs outside of your public health arena and identifying resources to support those needs. So one challenge that I always find as a practitioner is that we have initiatives that are very disease specific. So if we're doing asthma work, we will do a great job of addressing a child's asthma, but maybe will not be recognizing all of the other comorbid conditions that the child might have. So really thinking about if you're in one disease, how to kind of think about the whole patient orientation or the whole family orientation. Team-based care, so ensuring that your public health team is seen by the patient, family, and primary care team as part of the larger healthcare team. So thinking about how you make those connections with the healthcare team to serve families. Coordinated, so this concept of bidirectional communication with the medical home care team and other key partners is really important, and I think we've seen a lot of improvement through our work with the closing the loop measure and developing those systems, particularly around early intervention. So anytime you can work to build those systems, I think it benefits the families you serve. Accessible, so thinking about the services that you provide that are available in the most common languages spoken in your community, thinking about literacy and health literacy, and ensuring that families are really understanding the information that's being given to them. And then focusing on quality and safety, just making sure that you incorporate the latest existing evidence into public health programming and utilize quality improvement methods to continuously improve your work. And that's all I have for this morning. Thank you very much.